All right, I'll just go for it. Let's go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we're looking at spiritual compass, and one of the things I've said over time this last two services is that it's a very vital topic. So it's really the leading of the Spirit. So we're examining the leading of the Spirit, as it were. You see, let me start by saying this. One of the most important things for the believer is the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. I almost said right and left. Right and wrong. Right. One of the most important things for the believer is being able to know the difference between right and wrong. More like what you can call the difference between black and white. A lot of times, believers find it difficult or they struggle to understand the difference between black, gray, and white. Right, they find it difficult to understand between the difference between black, gray, and white, or black and white, as it were. And one of the things that I've come to realize, even from my journey as a believer, is that if one is not careful, we would confidently walk with gray thoughts or gray ideologies, and we would assume it's the leading or the prompting of the Spirit until, you know, and if you are not careful enough, you might have gone far enough or far down the line before you catch yourself or get yourself back, right? So why do we do a series like this as a church from time to time is to ensure that we are intentionally paying attention to the things that we ought to pay attention to whilst we go through our daily lives. It's to ensure that we are that there is no gray area for us, right? You know, we said that on Sunday. A lot of people determine and understand the leading of the Spirit by so many activities. If I go out today and my hand is scratching me, it means money is coming, so God is leading me to go out today. Or if I go out today and someone smiles at me, it means that that's something that God approves of. But that's not usually the case. Those are opportunities and circumstances leading people. So the believer should be one who is confident enough to know God's voice. You see, God's voice can save you a lot from damage, or God's voice can keep you away from trouble. Right? God's voice can keep you away from trouble. That's something that you must always, you know, remind yourself about. That God's voice can keep you. You know, we said that on Sunday. A lot of times, there are journeys you shouldn't have taken. When I mean journey, I mean a path in life, not necessarily a travel or trip journey. Even a trip journey, as it were. Right? That you shouldn't have, but because you didn't pay attention to the prompting or leading of the Spirit or the nudges of the Spirit, you will just miss out on the point and just get yourself into places where you ought not to be. And I said on Sunday as well that one of the things that we are sure of is the fact that God is with us, right? The assurance we have of God is that He is with us through the thick storm. So God is not the one that chickens out or moves away or shifts away from you because you are in disobedience. No, God doesn't give His assurance to the believer on account of the believer's obedience. No, God doesn't give His assurance with the believer on account of the believer's faithfulness. No, God gives His assurance based on His faithfulness. Right? God gives His assurance based on His faithfulness. So look at John chapter 8. We start looking at that on Sunday. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Look at John 8:12 carefully. Now it says, then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we started looking on Sunday and speaking about how the believer does not lack light. The believer does not lack life. The believer does not lack life. It means the believer does not lack light. Look at John 1. Look at John 1. John 1:1. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, right? And the Word was God. Look at that one more time. In the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says the same was in the beginning with God. John 1:3 now. He says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now look at what he says in verse 4. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, that life was the light of men. Right? Look at that one more time. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Can we say the light needed by men is the life that we speak about, right? Or the life that is in him. So the life in him is the light needed by men. Look at that one more time again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now it says, and the light shineth. Right? The light shineth in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it, or darkness comprehended it not. Right? So we see an attribute of light, that light, once it comes in contact with darkness, darkness has got to give way. Right? When light comes in contact with darkness, darkness has to give way. Darkness will give way when light comes in. Excuse me. Now, we said, you can't shine darkness into a room. You don't say, I want to shine darkness into this room. Mm-mm. You can't shine darkness into a room. You can only take darkness out of a room by shining light. So you shine light to excommunicate or to take out darkness. So if I say I want darkness to leave a room, what am I supposed to do? I am to allow the light of God to shine. I am to allow the light of God to shine, right? So the light shines, right? And in the light shining, you are taking out darkness. See the point, right? So he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. Darkness. Now look at verse 9. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. So the true light that is spoken about is the same light spoken about as the light that is the light of men. In him was life. So in him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light was the light that lighted every man. So if you look at verse 10, right, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, okay? As many as received him. Go back to John chapter 8 and look at verse 12, right? Look at verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So remove shall not walk in darkness, right? Let's remove shall not walk in darkness from that verse, right? And read the next statement after it. It says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall have the light of life, right? He that followeth me shall have the light of life. So there's a certainty that you shall have, right? Go back to John chapter 1 again. Right, so John 1 will now let you see in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become sons of God. So he gave them that received him the power to become the sons of God. What's the real power? The real power will be in the life that is given. In the life. So what is being received? Look at that again. Verse 12. He says, as many as received him. So him is being received. What does John tell you in verse 4? In him was life. So if you receive him, you receive life. If you receive life, you receive him. So in receiving him, you are receiving life. In receiving life, he has given you, the power to become the sons of God. Or has given the power to become the sons of God. Right? Yeah? Even to them that believe on his name. So to receive him is to receive life, that is to believe on his name. So to believe on his name is to believe in him, right? And it's to receive life. So when a man believes in Jesus, what has he received? He has received life. When a man believes in Jesus, what has he received? He has received light. Right? Because in receiving life, you receive light. So, why am I emphasizing on this? Because a lot of believers, with the light they have, they go around looking for another light. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So if you are not careful, you will find yourself with a torch, looking for a torch. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, sometimes you imagine, have you found yourself, it happens to a lot of us from time to time, but have you found yourself in situations where you will see a situation that, for instance, you are not even certain about how something that you are looking for is right in your hands. Do you know it happens a lot of times, right? Where that happened to someone beside me recently. I think that was in church, right? You were looking for something, right? And what you were looking for was in your hand. You know it happens a lot. You know, sometimes you can be looking for something, it's in your pocket, right? You can be looking for, you know, anything, basically. It happens a lot, maybe with the key to the house, right? Yeah. Oh, I think it happened to my wife very recently, right? Oh, where's the key to the house? Where's the key to the house? And you looked around for the key to the house that is in your hand. You see, that's the true state of many believers. They have light, but they are looking for light. You get the point? And it shows in the kind of, you know, prayers we pray. It shows in the kind of things we ask God for. There are certain matters we don't pray about. Yeah, when you pray about certain matters, you are literally like one who has light looking for light. Imagine you are praying, Lord, should I steal this guy's phone? Right? Or imagine you are praying that God, should I, it could be anything, yeah? God, should I lay hands on this person to get them healed? The Bible has explicitly stated, right? And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? The Bible makes it very clear that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, who went about doing good, and in that is an example to us. So it means that we should always go around, also go around doing good. Every single time God is willing and available to heal, right? His will is that all men are saved and come to. So it's like going to say, God, I want to pray to confirm from you. Do you really want this man to be saved? That's the example of a man or a woman looking for light with light in their hands. You get the point, right? So that's why we emphasize things like this in meetings like this. The light that the believer needs for their life is in their life. You get that? Yeah? I'll say one more time. The light you need for your life is in your life. The light you need for your life. So every day of your life, what you need as the light of God is in you. Look at that one more time again. In him, John 1:4. In him, right? In him was life. Right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Look at that one more time again. In him was light and life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 12 says, as many as received him. So as many as received life. So it means if we say as many as received him equals to as many as received life, because verse 4 says in him was life. So when you receive him, you receive life. It now tells you that life you receive in him is the light of men. You get the point? That is light, so to say. So a believer who is a son of God, a believer, you know, when I mean son of God, I'm really just talking about someone who has the DNA of God. That means you have the spirit of God, right? Yeah. To make life easier for our generation, you can say son and daughter, but sonship is not about the masculinity or the gender, right? It just means the one that has an inheritance with the father, right? So a woman can be a son of God, a man can be a son of God, right? That's why you see when we address Jesus as father or God as father, right? We're not talking about, you know, gender. We're talking about position, responsibility, being the source, right? So I'm saying that clearly or loosely for anyone who will think, why will he say he has given them power to become sons? Why not daughters, right? Or you say he has given us power to become sons and daughters, right? Yeah, for your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, it's the same thing, okay? So he says, we are as many as received him, he has given. He has given the power to become sons of God, right? Yeah, he has given the power to become sons of God. Very, 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 very important. So who are you? You are a son of God. Better still, a child of God. What did you get, or what did you do to become a child of God or a son of God? You see what I just said again? What did you do to become a child of God or a son of God? You received. What did you receive? You received his life. What did you receive when you received his life? You received his light. So what do you lack? regarding the matter of light. You only lack comprehension, interpretation, or how do I say this? There's another word that came to mind. You only lack ability to recognize. Look at Philemon. Go to Philemon. You see, the leading of the Spirit is a very sensitive topic for the believer. That's why, you see, I'm teaching the way I'm teaching. One might be asking, why is he doing his face that way and making it look? Is it not just light and life he's saying? If you come from a part of the world where I come from, where there's usually no light, you understand what I'm saying? Look at Philemon. Go to Philemon. So look at Philemon and go all the way to verse 5. Okay? Go all the way to verse 5. Or look at verse 4. Right? He says, I thank my God, Philemon 1:4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, what is it about? Look at verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all saints. What does he say in verse 6? That the communication of thy faith may become effectual. The communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging, right? The communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every, right? That word acknowledging means comprehensive understanding, right? Or comprehensive knowledge, as it were, right? Of every good thing which is in you, which is in Christ. Look at that again. That the communication of thy faith. That means there is something you can have, or you can have something and not communicate appropriately. You get what I just said? You can have something and not communicate appropriately. So Paul is saying, I pray for you, right? Make him mention of thee in my prayer, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. That the communication of the faith may become effectual, right? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. So you can have something and not show, and to not show that you have it. Altogether, right? You can have something and to not show that you have it, right? You know, and that's why scripture teaches about your outward appearance, for instance, because your outward appearance has a way of telling people about the state of your heart. You get the point, right? There is a way you can appear, and in your appearance, it tells people about the state of your heart, right? That is one who can have the faith, right, and not communicate. So what do you need? Paul says, I pray for you that you may have what? You may acknowledge every good thing which is Christ. So that means it's worth praying for. Go back to John 8. Go back to John chapter 8. Look at John chapter 8. Look at the story again. He says, and then Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Why do you think Jesus can say, I am the light of the world? It is because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the light of the world. There is no sun. Even though the Bible can use son of righteousness to son, S-U-N, to refer to Jesus. Yeah? So I'm the light of the world, right? It's not son. You know, I remember at the time this was trending on social media and you know, all around everywhere, where people just wake, say, and just say, ah, light of the world is awake now. You see, light of the world is awake does not mean that there's a physical light shining from you. You get the point? So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, what is he saying? In me is life, and that life is the light to men, or of men. How did he say it? Yeah, light of men, light to men, right? So men need light. So why do you think men need light? Because man, right, will be in darkness, or man in darkness cannot fulfill God's will, as it were, in darkness. Right? So Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light, right? Right? And the light, right, shineth in darkness. Right? The light shineth in darkness. What is the goal of light in darkness? To take away darkness. So when you see an area of your life that you think, you know, we said that on Sunday, darkness, we speak about chaos, we speak about confusion, right? We speak about disorder. So when you see an aspect in your life, right, that is sort of amplified with disorderliness, what do you need to shine there? You need to shine the light of God, right? You need to shine the light of God, because the light will, once it appears, darkness goes. Hallelujah, right? We look at how the man needs to ensure, as a believer, to ensure that you tone down the volumes of distractions in your heart and amplify the volume of God's voice, right? Really, to amplify the volume of God's voice is not something you can do, because you can't make God to speak louder, yeah? But you can only tone down your distractions in this world. You know, the world is designed to make man look very busy. Or, let me say it differently, the world is designed to keep man very busy. Yeah, you have not found out that sometimes, right, your days can just start and you just keep going and you realize 4 or 5 hours gone. And be like, what have I done with my time today? That's how the world is designed to, you know, to manage time. If you don't manage your time well, the world will manage your time for you. Are we together? You see, if you don't manage your time well, and that's what I was saying on Sunday, if you don't have a consistent pattern of devotion with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a consistent fellowship, relationship with Jesus Christ, it will show. I can always tell you, right, in my few days of pastoring and discipling people, right, you can easily tell one who is not paying attention to God's word. You can tell. You can tell one whose heart has been or is controlled and managed by narratives of this world. It's simple. Why? Because there is such a thing called the communication of your faith being effectual by the acknowledging. When you don't acknowledge, I will see in your communication. It means the outward will determine the inward more often than not. All together, right? So when you see a believer, for instance, acting a certain way, right? You see a believer asking stupid questions, right? That is someone who is not acknowledging as they ought to, right? So that the acknowledging of your faith may become effectual, that the acknowledging of faith, the communication of faith, rather, may become effectual. So you see the effectiveness of the light of God in you to the degree in which you acknowledge. I'll say it one more time. You will see the degree, right, of effectiveness of the light of God in and through you. Yeah? And that will be directly proportional to your acknowledging. So if you are not acknowledging, if you are not having that full comprehensive conversation or ideology, right? If you are not having that detailing in going and spending time with God's word to know God's voice, right? You remember the story of Samuel, right? Samuel and Eli, right? And there will be that narrative of hearing the voice of the Lord, right? What will happen, right? The prophet Eli would only be able to know it is God's voice from a place of experience. There are things you will know only based on experience. Look at it. You see, I'm talking to you about the leading of the Spirit right now. There are things that I cannot communicate to you, right, until you experience it. You get the point? Yeah? Yeah? You see, that's why the Christian faith has the experiential part, right? And the knowledge part. So the knowledge is to fuel your experiences. You get what I'm trying to say, right? Your knowledge fuels your experiences. If you don't have the right knowledge, we can see by the kind of things you call your experiences, right? So when you see a believer who is acting, let's say, don't think of a believer, think of yourself. When you think of yourself at any point time T, right, or any point P or time T, that you are not acting in accordance to God's word, it means there is a knowledge gap. Let me say that differently. There is a devotion gap. You get what I'm trying to say? There is a devotion gap. That means you are spending more time in this world than in the world. Yeah? Yeah? So your gaps, your gap in the gap that exists between what you have and who people see you as, or what you experience, is knowledge. Get what I'm trying to say. So imagine there are two bridges. You are on point bridge A. You want to get to point B. Let's say it's on a matter. All you need is feast more on the word. Yeah? Feast more on the word. When there's an aspect of your life, I said this last week. Sorry, I have to say it again, right? You know, I said it last week. When you see a believer, right, running to therapy more than the word. That's a believer that has a problem. You get the point. It's hard to swallow, and an average person would not want me to say that, right? An average person would want me to be sensitive, but I don't think anybody on this call is average, right? So if you are not average, I will tell you what it is. When you have an issue, when you have a problem, and the first thing you are thinking to do, I'm saying regardless of the problem, yeah. Someone asked me, people ask me, how did I come out of, you know, my dad's passing over the years, right? And I can tell you for free, I have not for once had to sit in front of anyone to be pouring my mind to. I have the Spirit of God in me. I can pour my heart to. And that same Spirit has inspired men to give me His word that can pour, that can be poured into my heart. It's simple. It's simple. I hope you know it's not the easiest of things from the layman's perspective. It's not. You see? So, and trust me, right? I haven't seen everything in this world, but I've seen some things a little in this world that can make me know that when you keep your heart on the word, you will stay dogged. You don't shake. Yeah? I've seen things that when you keep your heart on the word, you'll be like, I'm not... I've seen things, really. I've seen things, right? That's not from a place of pride. Eh? Let's assume it's from a place of pride. It is me boasting in the efficacy of the word. You get what I'm trying to say, right? It is me putting my boast in the fact that Kai, God's word, Kai is just the Greek word we use for expression where I come from, right? So it's just like saying you are so certain that God's word, my dear people, God's word changes people. I'm saying, God, you see, have you not seen people say that? I'm going to say, use this example carelessly, right? You know, you would have heard people give example, maybe preachers having some of their members battle. I've done this severally. I just want to use a third. I've not used this example before. I've not had the experience. So I won't tell you what I've not experienced. So I've had preachers talk about how there are people who, you know, are addicted to nicotine and addicted to smoking or ganja, ginger, ganjo, and all the likes. Right, and eventually, what they tell them is when you take a puff, right, just remind yourself that there is something the word says about you. You get the point. Now, you see the problem with we believers, we now take things overboard. You that they told you when you take a puff, right, remind yourself of who you are in Christ. They are talking to you from a point of, let's say the thing gets to you and you just feel like, I've messed up again. Let the word remind you who you are. But you see where a lot of believers find themselves? Shebi, I will remind myself. You see the difference? Yeah, you already program your mind and say, if this thing happens, she is just to remind myself. You see the reverse of the case? Yeah, the reverse of the case, right? So eventually, if it happens, I'll remind myself, you take your puff. And that's how you keep reminding yourself about the puff more than reminding yourself about the word. Yeah, but I've seen other forms of addiction break just by paying attention to the word. Let me say it again clearly, right? You see, like I said it on Wednesday, I'll say it again, right? A believer using the professional help of psychologists and therapists and what you call them, right? Both all the likes of the therapy together, it's not entirely wrong. Yeah, because ideally self, really, a pastor, me, with the kind of things I've had to go through, as opposed to be a certified therapist, honestly, what life, so much blind. Yeah, with the kind of small things I've seen in this world, I'm supposed to be going and put my LinkedIn on my profile, say certified. That, what am I saying? I'm saying with God's word, you can help people come out. But if at all as a believer, you need to find yourself in that path, it's not entirely wrong. But I beg you as much as possible, it's safer and better and more sustainable, right? You see what I found out about this idea of therapy, right? I found out that a lot of times people actually come, and let me be careful with my words, sometimes, right, people eventually now begin to get themselves in a place where, I'm going to skip that. Yeah, what am I saying? Yeah, don't be tilted to the, you see, don't be somebody who is trying to read worldly books for issues more than you read the word. You can't read only the word alone. We've done Faith and Folly, right? We've talked that already, right? But don't pay more attention to worldly books than the word of God. That's why you don't blame people who say the word of God is a manual for the believer. The word of God tackles every situation. There is no matter that can be tackled with the word. I mean, what I'm trying to say, I don't know why I'm saying this today, right? Right? It's very important that you know how to pay. If you don't, the gap between where you think you want to be as a believer, right, and where you think you are, is knowledge. Is knowledge. How well are you fellowshipping with the Spirit? How well are you praying? How well are you feasting on God's word? How well do you listen to messages? You think when I do messages, I will put it online as a church? You think it's so that we can be building traction? It's not for traction. It's for you. It's to your advantage. It's to your advantage. You have the advantage that a lot of people didn't have 200, 500 years ago. It's an advantage. See what I'm trying to say? Believers at a time of less technology, right, were still effective in communicating God's word. Maybe that's even why Corinthians had plenty of issues. Yeah, they didn't have gospelhouse.org. Yeah? Yeah? But the truth remains, right, that even in their word, they still had examples like Ephesians, they had Colossians, they had Galatians. You see the problem? Yeah? It is the gap. The gap there is the knowledge. It's the how well are you paying attention to God's word. Yeah, let's even forget about website. Do you know that if we did Sunday and Monday and you paid enough attention Sunday and Monday, that's enough to change your mind. That's enough to work on your mind. Everybody is a work in progress, including myself. The problem we have in our generation is people don't want to see themselves as WIP. Yeah, you know WIP, right? Yeah, everybody is a work in progress. Yeah, everybody is a work in progress. I am a work in progress. You are a work in progress. That's why I always tell you, right? Even our teachings, I highly doubt there's anybody who has listened to my teachings like I do. Except I don't know you. Obviously, I don't know you. That's why I'm saying that. But I would highly doubt that there are people it might exist. Let me not do the factor. Let me not speak like Paul. Yeah? I speak in tongues more than all of you. That one is too ambiguous. But you see, when it comes to this, how well I try to feed my heart or fix my heart on the word, yeah, I get myself to always be reminded. So I'm teaching you today, God's word is, you know, going to you and also going back to me. But much more than going to you and coming to me, I take out my own time to feast on what I'm just dishing out to you. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? It's very, very important. That's how I grew. When you see somebody not walking in love as expected, it's a gap. What's the gap? That the communication of thy faith may become more effectual by the act. So the gap is in the acknowledging. That's the gap. So if you ask yourself, you know, I remember there was a time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, right? And I think someone had done something, and you know, and me usually I would not have responded the way I did. Yeah, someone just did something very interesting, right? And I usually would not respond the way I did. You know what I found out, right? I found out I was away from the word, unlike I used to be. You see, the word of God, devotion, should be something you consider like your breathing and breathe out. Think of your life as one who will not live an effectual life on this earth without breathing and breathing out. That's how serious you take God's word. Yeah, you ensure your mind has said that, why do believers feel like they cannot live without food, but they can conveniently live without God's word, which is the true food, spiritual meal? Why do believers think that they cannot go 5 days? If you tell a believer right now, let's do 3 days fasting and prayer, they'll say, we will die. At least let's drink water, right? Why do you think believers cannot do 3 days without food? Yes, they think that they can do 1 week without the word of God, which is the true spiritual food. It's the lie of the devil. So there are times when I see myself acting or behaving in certain ways, I know, oh my goodness, Joshua, you've got to go back to the word. I know if I'm sincere with myself and I trace back, you know what usually happens sometimes? It could just be that I got distracted by things happening, right? And began to give myself excuses that I didn't have time. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah? It begins to look as though I got distracted. But to justify my position, I begin to say things like, I have meetings from Monday to Friday. I have this one. I have this one. I have that one. I have this one. I have that one. It's very, very easy to get yourself into complacency by not owning up to true life reality. Anything that makes you too busy for the world, you are unnecessarily busy than God expects. Please write that in your note and put yourself at asterisk. I say, Joshua, can you hear? Anything that makes you too busy for God, yeah, you are, I don't know what I said, but you are unusually busy than God expects of your life. You're unusually busy than God expects for your life. Let me tell you, yeah, there is no point having all the wealth and the riches and the money of this world and your soul is dying on the inside, such that you are so rotten in your conduct. You are so rotten when people come close to you. You are so rotten on the inside. It's not worth it. More often than not, you are building a baggage for yourself in the future. I hope you get the point. Right? Never get yourself to a point where if you are too busy, and listen to me, everyone here, right? Yeah, if you think you are too busy, go and sit down somewhere, look through your calendar. You've got to take some things out of it, even if it includes your workout. That's a tricky one. Even if it includes your sleeping, another tricky one. Even if it includes your job, another tricky one. Yeah, but Pastor, you know, I need to ensure that, is it not the man that is alive, that is breathing, that can preach the gospel? Is it not the man that is alive that can usually reach out to the nonsense, or God, madam? Yeah, brother, sister. Yeah, you are just allowing the devil get the best of your heart. More often than not, a rotten heart will reveal itself in the future. A rotten heart is just a figurative way of saying a heart void of the word, yet has the light of God. Yeah, it will reveal itself in the future. If you're someone who thinks you don't forgive easily, you are too busy. You are getting too busy. You've got to drop some things. Let me tell you, you can't keep chasing money and try to have the best things of life, and you will not now pay attention to the life on your inside, to your soul as a person. If all men on this earth paid attention to the world as much as they should, right? Let's even start from believers. If only believers, I'm saying, look at the time is 7:38 p.m., right? If every believer right now at this point, I'm not talking about those that they will preach to and will get saved in at 7:39, if every believer at this point on this earth pays attention to their soul more than their outside life, there will be better Christians and there will be a better world. Let me say it differently. Would have a better world. We have people forgiving more. We have people not trying to revenge. We have people not trying to retaliate. We have people who are not stingy. You have people who are not covetous. Just by paying attention. You see why I'm talking the way I'm talking? Because whatever issue we are trying to tackle, we are not. So at least, let's say we cannot get all the Christians to pay attention to the word. You, be a light. Yeah? Like Matthew will say, you are the light of the world set upon a hill. Right? Yeah? Be a light. Be a shining light. You can only be a shining, let's use Philippians to say that, you can only be a shining light to the degree in which you acknowledge. You can only acknowledge by paying attention. You know one of the most expensive things to pay for in this life is attention. Right? So, if you think you don't, how can you go a day you don't talk in tongues? You go a day, you don't pray. You go a day, you don't fellowship with God. You go a day, you don't read the word. My dear brother, my dear sister, you are too busy. And ideally, you are busier than God expects of you. You are busier than God expects of you. So I'll say to you, right? Some of you, you might have to reduce some of those extra things. It might be your sleep. Yeah? How can you be sleeping for 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours every night? Yeah, I don't joke with my sleep. Oh. Yeah, I don't joke with my sleep. Oh. And you cannot spend 10 minutes in the Word. I don't used to, once it's time for sleep, I just... Right? Yeah? You need to ensure that by default, you are not getting yourself overwhelmed by the activities of this world. Some of you need to reduce your sleep. How can you not have a good soul and you're sleeping for 8 hours? That sounded funny. That's not fair to your generation and your world now. Yeah? Your heart is, you cannot interpret promptings of the spirit. You cannot interpret workings of the spirit. Right? And you are sleeping and you are snoring. It's not even okay that you are sleeping. You add snore on top of it. It just means that you are doing something wrong. So if you say, I'm too busy, I didn't reach, you know, for some of us, we're even still persuading us, listen to the word a day, listen to the word, we still send cell meeting once a month. After 30 days, we'll ask, how many of you listen to the word? I used to hear some of your cell leaders in your group, do you listen to the message this week? How many of you listen to it? Lift up your hands. Then they say, hey, nobody. We do again, we do better next month. They are telling you we'll do better next month. Next month, 2 years is passing, 3 years is passing, 4 years is passing. You are not ready to do better. You're not ready to do better. You're not ready to do better. So if you don't pay attention to the word as much as you, it will show. It will show. It will show. You know, let me tell you something. I'm not saying when you pay attention to the word, which issues will not happen. No. I'm saying your slant in issues will show. Your slant in issues will show. Your heart will be revealed by the words you say, by the actions you do. Is it for instance? If you are one who says things right out of anger, you know, and you eventually catch yourself to regret it, that's a acknowledging gap. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you and your husband or you and your wife, you're having an argument, and before you know it, you just call them one name. You come on, get that from here, you stupid woman, your father's father, mother, mother. Yeah, that's a gap. Yeah? And that thing is an internal issue. You are a problem. Not you have a problem, you are a problem. Yeah, you need to go back to what I'm saying to you applies to me as well. Right? Yeah, that I get upset and that's never happened. I'll get upset and I will insult somebody, right? And I finish and I say, oh my goodness, I wish I did not. It's not necessary, right? Why is it not necessary, right? Why would that not happen? Because as much as possible, I pay attention to God's word. You see, like I said earlier on, it might sound like a bragging, it might sound like a boasting, but what I'm just boasting on is I'm telling you that what helps my heart is God's word. Did you see that? What helps me is God's word. So I think for this teaching, I want you to do something after this meeting. Yeah, if you cannot dedicate minutes into hours of your day, fellowshipping, worshiping with God, you are too busy. It might require you to change your job. Yes, it's you I'm talking to, dear brother and dear sister. It might require you to change your job. It might require you to reduce your shifts. Some of us, we take shifts till our brains are shifted out of reality. You take shift. All those things, sometimes you say, you know, but bills are incoming. Let me tell you. You see, not everybody in this life will go and write book making it big. Not everybody in this life will make it big. Talk more of write book making it big. Is the reality. You must learn early enough that you will not lose your soul at the expense of material mundane things. You know why I'm saying it this way? I've seen a little where people who had a lot lose everything within the blink of an eye. Right? Yeah, you know, someone was with us in church a couple months ago, you know, years ago, right? Don't bother, you know the person, right? You know, and the person lost almost $150,000, yeah, right in front of his eye. See how his eye is opening? Yeah, someone say, if that money had touched my hand, I would have reached so. I'd have reached out to more souls that are paying, reached so. $150,000 just like that. He watched it on his phone go. I'm not talking of money. This is not temporal money. What is it that is temporal that they are cash? I'm talking about real life cash. Yeah? And what did that further remind me of? That you see, everything you think you are purchasing can go within the twinkle of an eye. That is what leads people to get to themselves to the point of killing themselves. You know, some people, you hear a Christian saying, I almost took my life. You see, there's no, I think one of the things we are losing out as a church, if we are not careful, is if you don't want your manager to tell you the truth, if you don't want your doctor to tell you the truth, you know, what helps people is the truth, as it were. Imagine you go to a doctor's appointment and something is really bad from your internal system, right? And he tells you in a very polished way that doesn't communicate the need for urgency. Who loses? You lose, right? And that's the way we must have approached the Christian faith and God's word, such that everybody has his own to collect from the word. You can't not have friends who tell you the truth. partners, when I mean partners, I'm talking about your husband, your wife, or your relatives who tell you the truth. And peradventure, your doctor, peradventure, whoever you are speaking to, or your counselor is not telling the truth. And you don't expect the church not to tell you the truth. You see, the church is the only one you should be able to get the truth from. And you know, like I always say, sometimes you will hear some things, you will go back home, you will cry. You will clean your eyes, you will cry. Then go back to those things that were said and make amendments on your life. Because more often than not, you are just piling baggage on your inside, waiting to explode tomorrow. Right? And one of the things, like I said, I want to do for you as a member of God's palace is to ensure I don't chicken out on saying the truth to you. Yeah? You see, when the things should hurt you and get to you in the church when preached, only on account of the fact that it is your reality. You get what I'm trying to say, right? So if there's a part of God's word, for instance, I'm talking about paying attention to God's word. If I'm talking today and I'm talking about how you need to pay attention to God's word, and the thing is making you get upset, right? That's the goal. You get the point, yeah? You should be upset at yourself. You should see yourself as, why have I been so... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's the goal, right? But it is not to leave you that way. It's to ensure that you make amendments. It's to ensure that you change something. It's to ensure that you modify something. What a lot of us like to do, you say, I like it when they teach the word until the word touch you. Right? I like that man of God. He's so straightforward. He just dishes out the word until he touches you. Right? So one of the things you must always remind yourself about is when you listen to God's word, it's a corrective lens. You get the point, right? It should bring correction to you. So if you listen to teaching like this and it says you should spend more time praying, don't say, does pastor know that I'm feeding 5 people in my home country? Does pastor know that I'm taking care of my parents? My parents don't eat. If I don't send money to them, they will not eat. Does pastor not know that, you know, you see, there's a name it's called. I'll remember the name, right? It's not necessary for you. If ideally you know, your soul is getting to a point. You don't forgive easily. You don't move on easily, right? You always lash out in the moment. It's a gap. What are we dealing with today? Spiritual compass. This part of the compass. I hope you know this part of the compass. Yeah, everything together is the compass. Yeah, and particularly spiritual. Yeah, ensure you are deliberate. If you don't get these fundamentals I'm saying, it will not be a surprise to say you don't hear the voice of God. Someone was asking me a question recently. Say, how do you hear the voice so well? How do you hear God's voice so well? Right? You know that even in believers' meeting, how close and how accurate as it where you are, right, is sort of dependent on two things. You are acknowledging and you're distracting, or your distraction, sorry. Yeah, you're acknowledging it. So it might not start off as at, in quote, what people will call accurate, but 2 years down the line, there should be a change. 3 years down the line, there should be a change. If you are still at the same point or worse, you've not done well for yourself. Because words of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, is just interpretation of promptings of the Spirit. Altogether. So ensure that you have a daily communion with God. Ensure you have a daily relationship with God. Ensure you are always conversing with God. Don't allow anything to take your heart off God's word. Right? There's no reason why I see a believer. I don't think there should be a reason why every day of the week you are going on a bus trip to your workplace for 1 hour. And what you use your eyes and your ear to do is to be looking for gunshot around. That's sarcastic, right? Yeah, because I don't understand why you're looking for gunshots. How do you know everybody that came into the train? Such that if there's an issue on that train, if police see you, they can see. Oh my goodness, it looks very interesting. How can you be on a train for 1 hour, right? And police should catch, maybe something happened. Yeah, have you not been? Is it not on the train they tell you if you see something, make a call, right? But you don't even make any call. You are as sharp as the CCTV camera. You always strategize, position yourself in a position. You know this person dropped at, we have done 10 minutes on this train, dropped at 8:53. And you can give all those things throughout your bus station. You are not making use of your time well. What about getting the audio Bible? Yeah? What about getting the audio Bible and listening to it every month on your train journey? If you take your audio Bible and you commit, let's say you commit to work, if you dedicate an hour or two right? Every day, listen to audio Bible. You can conveniently finish the epistles, right, within a month. What about doing that every month? Do you know, I'm saying, let's say you don't like my voice. Let's say I'm so aggressive in my voice. Let's say I don't know how to talk. I agree. Go and get a soothing voice at least, right? Pay attention to what is being said. At least listen. Just the word. Just start from, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians. Just listen. See, I can tell you, your life will change in 1 month. Now imagine doing that 12 times a year. I'm just saying 1 hour or 2 hours maximum in a day. Not auto speed though. Some of us, you have started doing auto speed times two. You are looking for a premium that will give you auto speed times 4.5. Not auto speed though. So you just say you want to quickly finish it though. No, it is that you will listen at a pace and you are listening. You know, you are looking on the bus, yet you are not aware. I didn't say because I say you should listen to the Bible. That does not mean you should not know when your bus stop. That's not what I'm saying, no. That you now miss your bus stop. You now say you don't know that the guy brought gun inside the train. That's what I'm saying, no. So you need to ensure that no matter what, don't put your mind more on the things happening around you. Yeah. How can every time you go back home to your husband or your wife at home, how you can say, my dear, if you see what I saw on the bus today, if you see how that man, that woman, he just slapped the daughter like this, and the daughter just dodged it and slapped him back. Every day, that's your story. What about days where you come back? I was on the train today, I just got a nudge in my heart to just take out time to pray for a particular family in Iraq, right? And I just feel like we should just take out some time and just pray as a family. What about those are spirit-led conversations. You know, I said an example on Sunday. There are days you will shut down the voice of the spirit, and in your shutting down, you've deprived another of help. You've shut down the voice of the spirit. In doing that, you've deprived another of help. Are we together? Right? You know, what about you having situations where you know your children are in school? Your siblings are in school, and you just close your eyes, open it, and you just see a trance in the moment, and just intercede for them, right? And just intercede. I've had those experiences severally, where somebody would just tell me something was happening at a particular time during the day, and at that exact time, I was praying for them. More often than not, I'll just smile, I'll just say, thank God, glory to God. But more often than not, there are situations where I knew that it was that prayer. The same way that God counts on another person for my life. How many times does a pastor come to your mind that flashes on your mind and you just take out time and pray? Yeah? Your pastor should not always flash your mind. Oh yeah, I remember, he said, this guy can talk, shy. If you just give pastor one mic like this, he will finish you for another 3 hours. He can't talk. What about trying to remind yourself of the fact that you are one who has the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will give you promptings almost every time. Almost every time, right? You know, some of us, if they ask you to, if they ask you to drive to church, you can't drive to church without a map, right? And you'll be sitting in that car for over 1 year. You can't drive to church in that map. Okay, let's assume your reason for not being able to drive to church without a map is that when the journey was going, you were meditating on the word. But no. It is that you are using your energy and your time to do something else. Just like your boss, maybe you want to use the train or the tram. Yeah? You don't know the time your boss is going to alight on 1.1 bus stop to take another bus. You are not sure about it after doing it for a year, after doing it for 2 years. Let it be that the reason that happens is because every time you're on the board, you're always a walking man of the word. You know, that's our core values as a church, right? Help. Prayer and evangelism, and prayer and the word rather, right? Where every believer is a walking man of prayer and a walking man of the word, right? That's how your life, that's the only way you can, you see everything I'm saying to you, it will determine the topic spiritual compass to you. Yeah, it will determine the topic spiritual compass to you. If you don't get what I'm saying, if you don't understand what I'm saying and don't act on it, there is no topic, there's no point teaching about spiritual compass. Or leading of the spirit, because these are the things you know. When you hear God's voice well enough, you know when He speaks. Altogether, you know when God is speaking to you, right? Yeah, you know, we sang that song a couple of times. I love sitting at His feet. I love hearing what He says. Do you really love sitting at His feet? Do you really love hearing what He says? Right? Bible says that we that received Him, He has given us power to become the sons of God. Now that we are sons of God, what do we have? We have light. Yeah, I heard the testimony of a preacher, right, who he went to preach in a different city, right? And as soon as he got to the city, he finished preaching. He was supposed to have another session the next day, but he just had an impression on his heart to get out of that place and go back to his hometown, right? Yeah, and what did he do? He got some, you know, escorts and the like, and they took him straight to his house as soon as he finished in that night session. It was going to be dangerous, but he just got the escort and took him home. Right? What happened? So because the church that was hosting him had paid for the room, they now just came together and said, let them use the room for fellowship. Guess what happened? Middle of the night, armed men came there with their full guns, well kit, right? And they came into that place and they were asking for that man. Where is this man? Where is this man? Where is this man? Are we together? Thank God for the leading of the Spirit. Yeah? If it's some of us now, you know, you can be in that situation. Spirit of God is asking you, leave this. You know, that is deliverance, as it were. You know, some of us, we think that what will happen every time is that people disappear. Have you forgotten that they put a brother inside basket and they let him through the ceiling to run away from the city? When the prison door was open, what did God say to Peter? Right? Those are supernatural deliverances. Are we together? Yeah? So, even some of us now, if it's some of us, what we'll do is, when we got the prompting to get out of that city that evening, you know what we say? It's just the devil. He doesn't want some people to be blessed here. Right? And it's just making me miss my wife or my kids at home. Oh, gracious Father. You'll be saved from problems, saved from issues, just by yielding, acting on the leading of the Spirit. Praise God forevermore. So one of the things you must always remind yourself is that there is time for everything and there must be time for God's word. Very important you know that. There is time for everything and there must be time for God's word. There must be an acknowledging. There must be an acknowledging. There must be an acknowledging, a comprehensive acknowledging, comprehensive and precise knowledge. Comprehensive and precise knowledge, right? An acknowledging of God's Spirit on your inside that you have light, right? So when you find yourself in seemingly interesting, chaotic situations, you say, God, I have the light of life in me. I have God's light. I'm not confused. There's no confusion around me. I'm not stranded. I'm never stranded. Are we together? I'm never stranded. I'm never confused. Remind yourself. You see, you can be in a situation where it looks like you are stranded. No, remind yourself. No, I'm not stranded. God's light is on my inside. God's light on my inside propels me to make the right decision. God's light on my inside shifts me from mistakes. God's light on my inside gets my feet on the right path and keeps my feet on the right path. God's word to me is a lamp, and I stay with God's word. Those are the things you say to yourself. Yeah, that's why sometimes the words you use can quench the leading of the Spirit. The words you use. Yeah, every smart, you know, I'm dead, oh. I'm dead, oh. I'm dead. Oh. Every small thing you are looking, you are saying, you know, sometimes maybe you miss out on something. Say, oh, why are you so stupid? You are knocking your head. Why are you so stupid? How won't you be confused? Why are you so? You say, foolish me. And you think you are doing shakara. Oh, foolish me. You're tapping your skin cut. Oh, foolish me. You are using your words to get yourself out of the promptings of the Spirit. Oh, foolish me. You start behaving foolishly. Why are you now surprised? Got the point? You can't use your words to negate your reality. Yeah? There's a comedian from the part of the world where I come from. They call his name Igo. He said he will die. So he said he will die. Yeah? Yeah, let's assume I want to do a show and I want to invite him, and I'm the MC. I cannot say, let's invite to the stage. I is a personal pronoun. Why should I say I? That's your name, E. You get the point? Yeah, you see, sometimes it looks very dramatic, right? And I also understand people take it the other extreme. I remember there was a day I made fun of someone in a lift. It was a top hotel, right? So I walked into the hotel and I was going downstairs. Right, so you know, I'd heard someone crack the joke before, so I was going downstairs before. So the guy now, the elevator now, was just like a Novotel, maybe you are closing service. You now say, oh, are you going down? Say, I'm not going down in Jesus' name. So I just said it to the guy and his wife, and they just laughed. I said, I'm going downstairs, please. We just laughed about it. But you see, those things, it matters, though. Yeah, it matters to help yourself. It matters to help yourself, right? So you can't just get yourself a situation and just say things as you feel. I say, you know, so many things that we say. Get yourself fixed on God's word. I hope you're learning something today. Get yourself fixed on God's word. Get yourself fixed on God's word, right? Let me just close up in the scripture, right? Let me just close up in, should I go to Genesis 1? Okay, look at Genesis 3. Okay, I think I'll just use the words part, yeah? Let me start this up today and pick it up again on Sunday. Look at Genesis 2. Genesis 2 verse 16. Now, if you look through the consistency of the book of Genesis, one of the things you'll find out is that there was a lot of saying. Why do you think there's a lot of saying? That's to show us our lives are hinged and built on a lot of our sayings. You know, some people say something when you see yourself in a place you don't want, yeah, change the things you are saying. You know why? Because your words have a way of painting a picture. You know, words are so powerful. Yeah? Words are so powerful. When words are spoken, the ripple effect of that, more often than not, will be pictures. So words spoken have a way of creating pictures, creating images. Altogether, words spoken have a way of creating pictures, images. So, if you look at Genesis 2:16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, right? If you look at verse 18, and the Lord God said, right? Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep, right? And verse 23, and Adam said, right? Look at chapter 3, verse 11. He says, and he said, who told thee? Thou art naked. Let me fix on this. Go to Genesis 3:8. Look at 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. So when you talk about the voice of the Lord God walking, voices don't walk. So that's a way of speaking about personality or person. Okay? So they heard the voice of the Lord. That means they heard about that. They could tell that the Spirit, that God was there, right? That's what we're saying. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, cool of the day does not mean evening, right? That word there, cool, is the word ruach. Probably look at that on Sunday, right? And so he's talking about spiritual activity. So they say, right? So he said, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, right? Amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Right? And he said, who told thee that thou art naked? As thou eating, that means, have you tasted of a knowledge that you ought not to taste of? Right? Have you associated with something? So it means that if you are not careful about what life, don't forget, what influenced Adam's perspective of how he saw himself was from an external factor. Altogether, right? So it means when external factors present pictures and images to you, it is your responsibility over your life, not my responsibility over your life, right? Your responsibility over your life to use words to counter change those narratives. Altogether, right? So you look, see it again. It says, and who told thee, because it was shocking, who told that thou was naked? What did he say? He says, as thou eating of the tree, that means have you partaken of something that you shouldn't have partaken of? Right? Verse 11, wherefore I commanded thee that thou should not eat. Verse 12, verse 11, and the man said, the woman whom thou givest. You see that example? That is what people do in our world. It's always easy to look for a third party you can accuse for your mistakes or for your problems. What did Adam need to do from the get-go? The external pictures were painted. You just needed to use words to counter those pictures. Are we together? You just needed to use words to counter those pictures. And some of us, there are words that have been spoken into our lives, right? And because of the kind of thing, you know, sometimes in gisting people about the story, you are subconsciously affirming the things that were said. Look at me. If someone looked at me today and told me I was stupid, right? The truth remains that I need to ask myself, am I of a truth stupid? If I'm not of a truth stupid, I don't need to build a world around the words, you are stupid. Yeah, it's simple. It's simple. The world has a way of bringing external pictures to you. But you always need to remember that you need to ensure your words, that is the words that, so that is God's word, which has now become your word. You see, and that's why you need to ensure you pay attention to the word. You know, there are situations you get yourself into that what you require is not tongues. What you require is God's word. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I said? Not every time, which is why there's something I'm going to be doing in church going forward from the next couple of weeks. And what's that going to be? I want us as saints to begin to learn how to pray in understanding. Yeah, very important. Some of us don't know how to pray in understanding. You know, if you went for a meeting and went somewhere and they asked you, right, can you wrap up the meeting for us? If you are one who uses, they gave you 1 minute to pray, use 45 seconds, 1 minute to pray, use 45 seconds to call God all kinds of names. Then you are not going in the word. Eternal Rock of Ages, King of Kings, Rose of Sharon, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, right? The one that was, that is to come, right? Use 45 seconds to be calling names of God. Then it means that you are not, there's a lot that is missing, right? If a demon possesses person is in front of you, that is not a time when you should exercise tongues more. No, 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 no. That is the time to exercise words more. So it means I need to train us in that. Very important. Yeah? We need to have the balance. Because I just realized a lot of Christians cannot pray in their, particularly with Pentecostals. We can't pray in our understanding. Altogether, right? Yeah? You see, if you are not careful, you will find out that you don't have words you can use to tackle issues when things happen. What did Jesus say when the devil came to tempt him in Matthew chapter 4? We don't have a record of Jesus speaking in tongues. Jesus said, go to Matthew 4, let me close there today. Go to Matthew 4. And what am I saying to you? In your promptings and the leading of the Spirit, there will be certain things, there's a place where God's word will have a preeminence or will help out. Yeah, a demon possessed person, right? You need to cast out the demon. How? With understand, with tongues, with your language, whatever language person understands. Language that person understands. You get the point, right? Yeah, you know, so eventually can tongues come in, but let it not be that tongues is coming in because you don't know how to pray. You get what I'm trying to say? You know, some of us, if they ask us to come and pray, you know, let's say pray in the office, you do the same thing. Use 50 seconds, just say, Lord, we commit everything into your hands, Lord, take control. Lord, we hand over everything to you, have your way. What's the difference? We commit everything to your hands, take control. We hand over everything to you, have your way. It's not the same to you, I'm just saying. Yeah? But if you are well furnished in the word, yeah? Like I always say, your tongues and interpretation will reveal how well you spend in the word or how much time you spend in the word. Altogether. Yet not every time tongues are attention. Once they, you know, your own is everything you see by the Spirit is go. Everything you see by the Spirit, everything you says on the Spirit, yeah, is to refrain, every time, refrain, yeah? Yes, that's a lie. So if you want to call anybody to come and give us utterance on refraining, we just call this dear brother. No, that's, you're not growing. Look at Matthew 4. Look at Matthew 4 quickly while we close today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So in life, you'll be led up. You'll be led in your leadings. You will have pictures by the devil. This is similar to what happened in Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 2. right? So Adam was led and was tempted. You get the point, right? Yeah, he was led in the wilderness, was tempted. Wilderness can speak about the chaos of life, the activities of life. And he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he afterwards was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is what? Written." We didn't see, and Jesus began to blast in tongues. No. Yeah. Bringing down all imaginations. Right? Bringing down all things that exalt itself. You will use understanding of scriptures for that. You get the point. I'll look at that on Sunday. It says, "It is written, man shall not live." Look at verse 7. Jesus said unto him, what do you say in verse 7? "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt." Yeah? Look at verse 10. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. How did Jesus tackle the pictures of the tempter? How did Jesus tackle the image that the tempter brought his way? It was through the written word. And he would say, "It is written." How are you going through challenges in life? How are you going through your day in life? Do you wake up in the morning and on your way to work, you are speaking, "I'm led by the Spirit. Spirit of God guides my way. I will not be where trouble is found. I will not make mistakes at work today." Right? "I'll be led by the Spirit today. And there is no confusion on my path. I'm not stranded." Do you have those words to say? "Fear is away from me." Right? They say something terrible is happening somewhere. Are you first feeding your mind of, "Hey, God, what do I do now?" No, that's a believer who has not paid attention to God's word. What do you do? Remind yourself of God's word. Remind yourself of the words of God that you've put on your inside. I'll close with this story. When you fill a foam with a soapy water and you drop that foam on the table, I remember the first time I used this example was in 2013. I remember it was a choir that invited me to preach in the choir. 2013. Right? And since then, it stuck with me and it helped me change a lot about my idea of life. Well, you take a foam, right, and you put it on the table and you dip it into a soapy, foamy water. When you touch that foam, what comes out? Soapy water. When you take that same foam dried and put it inside a bottle of Sprite, and you take that Sprite and you drop on the that foam and drop on the table and you touch the foam, what comes out? Sprite. The only thing that comes out from you is what you've soaked yourself in. Please note that in your writing materials. The only things that comes out from you is what you've soaked yourself in and with. Let's assume Sprite were to be fear, and the soapy water was God's word. No matter the challenge, no matter how the pressure comes on that foam, you cannot pressure that foam that is soaked with water and soap to bring out blood. Did you get that? You cannot pressure that sponge that is full of Sprite to bring out lemonade. You can't pressure a sponge that is full of blood to bring out soapy water. No. So think about the pressure you put on that foam as life throwing you pictures. Let what comes out of you be "It is written." Let what comes out from you be God's word. Let what comes out of you, right, be explicit. You just know different situations and the different scriptures to use. Are we together? Yeah? Don't fix on one part of the world so much. All you know about part of the world is fear. Every time, and no matter the condition, no matter what it is, you say the root is fear. Root is fear, right? If life brings out its ugly head and it squeezes you, let it be that God's word comes out of you. Well, it's been a